You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to this week's episode of OK Boomer with my co-host Victoria Greenwood. We are proudly sponsored by Angela Marsden, the proprietor of the Pineapple Hill Saloon, which is located on Moore Park in Van Nuys behind the In-N-Out Burger, but don't go there. Go to the Pineapple Hill Saloon, get a patty melt, get some tater tots, get a beer, get a Tito's, get whatever you want, but just go inside and support our sponsor so we can keep coming back next week. We have someone in the studio that I don't know, so it must be a friend of my co-host, Victoria. Victoria, who'd you bring into the studio tonight?
This is Sean Marimatsu, everyone. By the way, Sean, every time I talk about you in real life, I say your full name.
That's how you know someone's really important.
Yeah.
And she kind of whispers the last name, Marimatsu.
It's because it's the coolest last name ever.
I'm also super mysterious.
Yeah. You just sound like a badass. Sound like an undercover agent. Anyway, this is Sean.
How do you two know each other?
I mean, we know each other through my dad, is like the initial connection. And then, I would say like a degree away from my theater company as well. The people within my theater company are really good friends with Sean. Sean is a really cool person, an actor. You may have seen him on television or really cool commercials that replay on the Super Bowl. He's also a life coach for actors and has helped me a lot. He also is he's like a trainer, I would say, to a degree. We've done Krav Maga together.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Let me back up, because you kind of skate over things.
Sure. That's what I'm known for. I don't know if you know that, Ralph.
You know him through your dad.
Yes.
I know Asian dudes kind of look younger than they really are, but
looks
a whole lot younger than your dad.
Well, the joke is this, right? My father, all of his friends, you've met Adam. Adam and Sean have been on the show, Adam Chambers and Sean Dury. They're also best friends with my father, and they're much younger than my dad. So the ongoing joke when my dad was trying to get me in the theater company that I'm currently in, because he was friends with all of them before I was that all of his friends were age appropriate for me to be friends with, and all of my friends at the club were age appropriate for him to be friends with. So I've been like pushing all my friends from Grand Havana Room onto my dad and making him have peers that are his own age, and then he's been giving me his. So we've been trading friends. So that's the answer to that.
You're going to allow her to say that?
It's true. But is that wrong?
No, it's absolutely true. I think
my dad's cool. He's got a very young spirit. So that's also part of, he's just a cool dude. He's eclectic. He's not an ageist. Okay, Ralph?
So again, we never get to the whole point of it. How did you meet her dad?
Oh, that's the question.
That's the question. Wow. Yeah, actually, it was through 6 degrees of separation. I'd say Adam and I are best friends. We grew up together, and then he had a friend. A bunch of them used to work at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and I think that's where they would see Kenny over and over and over again. And eventually, he used to say that he worked a lot when he was younger and burned himself out. He said he felt like he was 80 when he was 30 and 40. So I guess once he wanted something different for his life, he made a good friends with one of our friends, Ryan, who's he's like the actual real life dude, the dude from the Big Lebowski.
Right. He really is.
Kenny took to it like a duck to water. He had never ridden a motorcycle in his life. And then the next time we see him 6 months later, he's got like 13 motorcycles in his
garage.
That's what
he does. Yeah.
Right? He gets obsessed with it. And I think that that really appealed to our group. Just really curious people. And so every time we're like, oh, what do you think about this? Let's just go do that. And over the years, you really bond in trying new things.
Yeah, like my dad just jumped out of an airplane with someone. That's what he does. Mm-hmm. That's the guy.
Every story you've ever told me about your dad, which aren't a lot, but they all have a familiar theme to them. Not one would lead me to the Beverly Hills Hotel hanging out.
I mean, I've never talked to him about that. I don't know.
No, because he's a down-to-earth dude. He doesn't have airs about him.
Sure.
He married your mom, who's as down to earth as you can get.
That's not true, but I appreciate the sentiment. Down to earth,
yes.
Ralph?
Your mom is down to earth.
Her feet are on the ground.
Yes. But your mom doesn't talk about Louis Vuitton bags or Hermes bags or Jimmy Choo shoes.
I appreciate you so much, but my mom has some of the most expensive, beautiful clothing in my whole life. She does talk about those things, but she just grew up with those things. So she's not shoving it down your throat. She very much is that person.
She's moving to the middle of nowhere.
Not, she's not anymore. Not by choice.
Okay.
She's a funny person. I think down to earth in the sense that she is easy and approachable, and she talks about, she's worldly, but she's a very eclectic human being.
I couldn't picture your mom hanging out at the Polo Lounge either.
Sure.
The Viper Room, the whiskey, the rain.
Because that's rock and roll, right? That's where it gets. My dad's not a, I wouldn't call him a rock and roll person. He was much more in the 80s, like into mod.
Right.
And like, he 100%, you've seen his haircuts and stuff, man. Dude. Like into mod and like, you know, pop. And my mom was like the 80s, like she was poppy, but then she started to drift over to the 80s guys because they're cute. You know?
Okay.
I don't know. I don't talk to them about where they hung out. I had to go where my mom went because I was forced to as a child. My dad probably got a free pass at all of his cool stuff that he did, so I have no idea.
Okay.
But he gets cool friends like Sean, so that's, and then I get them from having that benefit connection, so what are you going to do?
Her dad's a smooth talker. Let's put it that way. He's lived a lot of life, seen a lot of stuff. He can talk to anybody about anything.
He's really, it's intense, but yeah.
All right.
I didn't realize that this is an interview on my father.
No, but you bring a guest into the studio,
sure.
We want to find out how the guest arrives here at the studio.
Honestly, I didn't know that either. So,
otherwise, we just sit here and look at each other, and that's kind of boring.
I mean,
Victoria,
that's...
I bet you're wondering why we gathered you here today.
Yeah, it's right. Actually an acting exercise.
He said he was a life coach. There's an intervention. There's people outside that door. They're going to be coming in one at a time.
That's really cool. I'm down for that.
I'm going to read you letters.
Can you all? I'll feel so special.
All righty. So, look, I'm not a total idiot. I did look up your IMDb.
Yeah. This is what I was waiting for.
Victoria's sweating right now.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, well.
How did you first get into acting?
Wow. You know, when I was in high school, I played football, I wrestled, and I ran track. Highly athletic. Never, ever, ever thought I was going to act.
Where was
really,
this?
Really shy. In San Diego.
Okay.
North County, San Diego. And we went to a really progressive school. Our school opened. When we went there, we were the first class to go there all 4 years. So there was, like, experimentation going on. So for PE, if you played a sport, say football, you can have football PE. It's like getting another practice. But it was a class. I got injured and I couldn't take the class anymore. So they said, well, you have to take a class for credit. So I had to transfer midway through the semester. You can imagine the only elective that was still open was theater.
Of course.
I wanted woodshop. I wanted, you know, video film, something cool and interesting. No, theater. Just people didn't get enough hugs as a kid. But so I'd sit there with my Letterman jacket and my hat and just like sitting in the dark watching these people play Zip Zap Zop. And,
oh, my God. I remember that game.
Right. And then eventually, you know, you have to get up and you have to do stuff. And once I really embraced it, I was like, this is a lot of fun. These people were like, no, you can't do anything stupid. It's all fun. And I was like, can't be stupid. You know?
Yes,
no,
you can.
Yeah.
Trust me. Being stupid is an art form. Do you know her mom is from North County?
San Diego?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm glad you guys are good friends.
I just love how much you love my mom. I'll let her know. I'll pass along the message.
her mom.
My mom's from El Cajon.
Oh.
She was born. Yeah, exactly. It was not fun summers. It's dirt, and my grandma lived on the biggest like hill in El Cajon, my great-grandma Florine. So every summer, my mom dropped us off there and went back to Los Angeles as fast as she could.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
So when did you just decide to start pursuing it?
Well, you know, coming to L.A., because of my Asian-ness, I was supposed to go to college, and I went to 6 hours of college. And in my infinite wisdom, I was like, I do not have the academic endurance for this. And so I told my parents I was still going to school because we don't get report cards in college, right? Unless you register for college and don't have an apartment yet, and so your address is at home.
And they sent stuff home.
Yeah, the academic probation letters. And so they cut me off. I had to get a job. I worked at The Gap. And then I was free.
Asian guy working at the Gap. Go figure.
Oh, my God.
And then from there,
it's
I was
like
able to.
The Benetton of colors.
Yeah.
No, trust me. I made this. But, yeah, and then from there, I was able to freely pursue it and not have to lie and hide. And, you know, this was back in 2001, so the internet and resources were not what they were.
Thank God. So which schools did you enroll in or classes? Or did you just go for it?
For
acting.
Oh, no, nothing. I just went for it.
Okay.
Actually, because Adam at the time and a bunch of my friends went to like an acting conservatory. And so I just thought either you're going to college for it or you go to a conservatory, which I could not do at that point, or you just take classes somewhere. And I didn't know where to go or what to do.
Okay. Which one was your first school?
The first one.
Or class.
Yeah, the first class I went to was Lynette McNeil Studio on Melrose. And that was an interesting experience because that was the first time I had ever met Scientologists.
Oh, they've tried to recruit my family. My mother.
Powerful.
Yeah, my mom made me go to some Scientologist classes. Like, I went to, like, four or five of them, and, like, we had books and everything. It was pretty nuts.
It's going to be really interesting. Almost all Scientologies are anti-vaxxers.
Oh, yeah. Mm. They're going to force everyone that, right?
And like, Zone A's. So, like, Netflix has shut down all production until they can prove that everybody in Zone A, which are your actors, your cameramen, and blah, 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 have been vaccinated. But if you're a Scientologist, you're an anti-vaxxer. That's, you know, Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. That's all those folks.
Yeah.
Masterson. Oh, but he's going to jail for rape, so he doesn't count.
Right.
No, but it's going to really hit the Scientology community hard.
Yeah, unless they just are all doing their own productions.
Which they may. They have a studio over
there. They got
enough
people.
In Los Feliz. Mm-hmm. Because their newest recruitment thing now is they go into the trades and they advertise short films.
Oh, wow.
That they're producing.
Oh, wow.
I know what they did to target my family was they go to people in the entertainment industry that are spiritual in some kind of way. So, like, my mom was Buddhist, like, from the time I was six until, like, now, pretty much. But active Buddhist from, like, the time I was six until I was, like, 15. And so they find, like, people at Buddhist meetings that are actors in the entertainment industry because they're more open to the idea of Scientology.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nuts.
Or actors.
Yeah, to a degree, they want someone that's a little bit, actors, sure, but they want people they think that are successful because they want their money.
Right.
But now, they also go with people with influence.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, it's nuts. That's crazy.
Yeah, when I saw them advertising, for sure, and it looks like a legit short film project. You know, get your start, blah, 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 you know, send your headshot, your self-tape, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the address looks familiar. I just couldn't figure out. So I ended up Googling it.
Oh.
And it's the Scientology Center.
That's how those, like, yeah, those commercials, whether they always do those, like, commercial castings.
Yes.
It's always, like, and they seem really cool, but it's, like, the golden era or something is, like, what it's called. And you're like, wait, what?
Yes, that's another one. They do the commercials as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Scientologists, are you?
No, but I went.
Okay.
I checked it out. That was the thing. You know, I went. So when I was at that acting studio and it was a scene study class, so you'd have to do a significant amount of rehearsal outside of class. Right. And I went to this guy's house and floor to ceiling, wall to wall, it was that very, like, I'm very important. I have those leather-bound books
kind of thing.
And they were all incredibly pristine and beautiful. But you can tell they were red.
Right.
And I was like, dude, did you read all of these? And he goes, oh, yeah, of course. Some of them multiple times. Are you a fan? And I was like, I don't know what this is. He goes, L. Ron Hubbard? You don't know who L. Ron Hubbard is? And I was like, oh, the Battlefield Earth? Like, and he was like, oh, man, we got to talk. We had this whole thing. He's like, I got somebody I want you to meet. He took me to the Celebrity Center. I watched like a couple of their indoctrination videos, which were very high budget, right? High, great production value. And I was convinced. And so, like, I took a couple courses, and then it gets to the point where it's like, you know, okay, so by that time, I should say that I had worked as an EMT, right, for the LA County Fire Department. So
I had been doing that
for a while, and then I had left to continue pursuing acting by the time I went back to class. So when they tell you that, like, if you get sick, it's because you have a suppressive person in your life. Has nothing to do with bacteria or viruses, right? It's because my body is, like, I'm doing something, and there's a destructive force.
Dude, I'd always be sick. I would literally be always sick.
You get get in a car accident, it's not an accident. It's because there's something in your life, right? Someone in your life. That's all. And I'm like, this is getting really, really crazy. And they lean really heavy into it. And this was 2005. I still get mail to this day.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
nuts.
Much mail. So many phone calls.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I did it for like 3 months.
Right. Yeah. That's how my mom's was too. I just remember walking down the hallway and it's like there's like these paintings. And then like all of a sudden there's like aliens. And it gets real weird. And they're like, they, like, hated on my mom for Advil and, like, all this stuff. And I was like, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe it's a bad idea.
Okay. So you're going to classes and you're going on auditions. Back then, they were actually in-person auditions, which was much better.
Yes, they were.
Yes, they were. What was your first gig, paying gig?
My first paying gig was probably a Wells Fargo print job. Whereas, so you have to stand there, and I thought I was going to be acting and auditioning, And it was just kind of like, it was 10 pictures of smile this way, closed mouth smile, three quarter turn this way. Now pretend like you're talking to somebody. No, put your hands up like you're in a conversation. And it was really, really bizarre. And then I booked a lot of commercials right away, had a good commercial look, right? So it was a lot of auditions like, pretend you're at a water park and you have to lay belly down on this apple box and
so
pretend like
weird,
you're getting
man.
Splashed.
Commercial auditions are the weirdest things in the entire universe. I have had some the worst emotional breakdowns and questioned humanity after them. Like, have you, what's the worst one you've ever had? Like the weirdest, most uncomfortable one. You don't have to say what it was for.
The audition?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was probably, that's the one that keeps sticking out in my mind, was the one where I was at a water park and they kept being like, could you be more wet?
Ew.
And
it's
I don't
so
know what that
weird.
Because they don't know how to direct you. And they're like, could you be more wet? What does that mean? No, like, you know, like you're getting so wet. You're like, it's not like a little bit of water. It's a lot of water. You're so wet. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's so weird. I've had so many weird ones, like just ugly faces. Did you book that one?
No. Oh, God, no.
Yeah. My mom used to always make me lie. She's like, no matter what, lie. Always tell them you love everything that they ask. And I'm like, okay. So I'm terrified of roller coasters. I'm so scared of heights. We talked about this, maybe jumping out of an airplane. I'm terrified of heights, right? Go into this audition. It's for Kia, and it's going to be at Knott's Berry Farm, and it's going to be on the Ghost Rider thing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I have to like pretend I'm in a roller coaster on the chair. And they're like, that was so awesome. That's so great. Like, so you're okay with roller coasters, right? And I'm like, yes, I love them. They're my favorite. And they're like, you're okay with heights and everything. I'm like, yeah, I love heights. I booked the fucking commercial. Yes. And I kid you not, I was crying, sobbing. Luckily, they thought it was funny. I thought I was going to have a heart attack the entire time. And my mom's like, well, you booked the commercial. I'm just like, yeah. But like, this could have been really bad if they didn't want someone. Like, I couldn't even act happy. It was going through trauma. I just went through a traumatic situation, and then hopefully it sells cars. I don't know.
Doesn't that explain a lot?
It does.
The more I sit with Victoria, the more I learn.
Wow.
I actually booked a commercial very similar to that, where it was one of those auditions where in the beginning, the original audition, you have to pretend you're on a roller coaster and you're going right over the hump. And the biggest part was the anticipation, because that was the Samsung spot, was the anticipation of a new phone coming out. And then you go over it, and it's like the release. So then I get a call back, and you go, and they lined up like 20 people, and they brought this big-ass fan. And they went down the line one at a time saying, you're going on the roller coaster. And then I booked it, and a bunch of us went to Six Flags. So you know there's that Superman ride?
Yep.
Oh, my
but
God,
on both
I hate that
sides
thing.
Of it is Lex Luthor's Drop of Doom.
Yeah.
So they had drones, and they had rigged the whole thing with kind of like GoPro-style cameras. And we went up and down that thing from about 7 in the morning till about 4 in the afternoon. I did it like 40 times.
That's insane.
And every time you have to pretend like it's the first time. The anticipation. And it was very, very scripted. It wasn't like it was the opposite of act natural.
Have you ever heard of ILM? It's a green screen technology.
Yeah, right. Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah. My mom actually had them rig the roller coaster before we went on it. She's like, no, you need to do a test run. Like, you need to do a test run with the camera rig before. This thing fell where I was supposed to be sitting. So I was like, cool, I'm going to die. I'm going to die in the worst way possible. Can't wait. I'm like 14. I'm like so terrified.
I thought you were like 9.
No.
You were 14.
Yes.
I'm scared.
I don't like roller coasters, dude. I still don't. They're stupid.
Oh, my God. You were 14.
Yep.
But you've done some big work. You like I saw on over there SWAT.
Oh, SWAT and the Young and the Restless.
My
and
God.
Stuff right.
Yeah, yeah, and you work with Shamar Mora, who's my – you already know how I feel. I love Shamar Mora.
He's a cool dude.
He's handsome, yep. And he's sweet, and he's cool, and I hope you're listening, Shamar.
I didn't say anything bad about him.
I know you didn't, but I'm just going to say really nice things about him, because I think he's also on one of my very favorite shows, which is Criminal Minds.
Mm. He's not doing them consecutively.
No.
He quit Criminal
Minds.
That's what
I thought.
Yeah.
There was a time where actors did shows consecutively. Like Phoebe from Friends mm-hmm. was also doing Mad About You at the same exact time.
Oh, wow.
She was playing her twin sister.
Oh, that's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Newman on Seinfeld was doing another comedy, not as Newman, but as just another actor.
Right.
And it's like, how do they get their schedules down, their shooting schedules? They're doing shows the same. And TV is different than film.
Yeah.
Where pretty much on TV, you got to be there every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, film, you can take a couple of days off, 3-4 days off. But on TV, it's different. But they work that out.
That's nice.
Yeah, Phoebe played herself and then her twin sister. That's, I'm mad about you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Shamar Moore is super awesome, though. He's my hero. He knows, you know, there are people that are like tremendous actors or whatever the lore is about them. But then there are also people that do famous well.
Right.
Yeah.
And he does. I mean, he's been in the game for so long. So he's such a pro that I met him. Because I've been on a couple episodes. So the first episode I was there for maybe 7 days. And the first 3 or 4, I did not have any lines. Right.
So what are they doing? 10-day shoots?
Yeah, I think they do 9 or 11. If it's 11, it's very heavy action.
Okay.
And they kind of alternate like that. And this one, I think, was a 9-day shoot. And so MC Light was in my episode. And there was a whole thing where there was, you know, you get the sides and it turns out that, like, well, we need to give MC Light these lines. So some of my lines that was really technical dialogue because I was like a DEA tech agent. I was just standing there. And so for every day, but Shamar comes up.
By the way, I saw that episode because MC used to date my friend Teresa, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not a secret.
No, I was just, I'm like, I wonder if I know this, if I know Teresa.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh.
So that's why I was like, Teresa.
No, it's not a secret.
And that's awesome.
Teresa Cartanez, I can't pronounce her last name, but she's from the Caribbean somewhere. Really, really pretty good gal. She is a, what does she do for a living? She makes wigs and.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
She had a shop right in the corner of Pico and Robertson.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Right next to the lighting store. She had that shop right there.
That was like, I think actually a big one. They get like a lot of stuff for film and television pieces there. Anyway, yeah.
She tells me what she has to pay for hair. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're nuts. It's a nuts thing. Yeah.
To make the wig?
Yeah, so they buy people's hair. So yeah. I think Cynthia at one time was thinking about selling her hair, or somebody at the
club
was thinking about selling their hair. You get a lot of money for selling your hair.
This is human hair?
Yep.
But it has to be not dyed and stuff.
It has to be natural and blah, 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 a certain length.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's nuts. But going back.
Oh, so on SWAT, he has his own like gym built
there.
I was
literally just going to talk about that.
Were you really?
Yes.
Ah, see that?
Let's hear it.
No, I was just going to say he has the gym travel there. I know because I talked about this with Adam before, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, like, the coolest thing.
Yeah.
It's in a semi, and it's so crazy. It looks just like this big black SWAT truck. And then you walk up, and there's these sliding glass doors, and it's the gym. And you're like, that's brilliant. And then you get it because they're all the SWAT dudes.
Right.
Right? So it's, like, before every scene, they're always coming out a little bit sweaty, but they, you know, get the last looks clean up, but they got a good pump going on. And it's like, I need to get in on that.
Yeah. That's so cool.
No, I actually like SWAT. I like that's a good night for TV because I like SWAT, and then I like SEAL Team, which follows it, which is great. You know,
David Boreanaz.
Man, that guy's made a ton of money, huh?
So much.
It's ridiculous.
What was that? Was it a Geico commercial? What's the thing that always played during Super Bowl? Where you're getting tattooed.
AT&T commercial.
It was AT&T. You've seen this commercial. It played.
You're getting tattooed.
It played a billion times. It literally, Sean's face was on, every time I turned the TV on, it was Sean.
Was that the mistake tattoo?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That was him, dude. Okay. So I was like, every time I was at the cigar club, we would be like, you would be all over the TVs, and I'd be like, that's Sean. And they're like, what?
Because that commercial aired almost as much as my friend's commercial, Mr. Celery.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the insurance guy? And it says celery.
Oh.
And she's like, so he goes, no, it's Celery.
Yeah. The mistake tattoo.
The funny thing about that commercial is I actually wanted a lot of tattoos, but you, as an actor, you know, sometimes you're like, I don't know if that's the move. But I have one on the spot that they were going to tattoo me in the commercial, so they had to cover it up, and my tattoo artist had no tattoos.
Wow.
So they need to spend like 30 minutes covering up my tattoo, but they spent 2 hours putting tattoos on him.
That's so funny.
Why couldn't they just get a sleeve?
Yeah. Why could they not?
And I see that
they went full green screen. Technology, guys.
I am really on the fence on actors and tattoos. I don't get it, but it doesn't seem to be hurting a lot of people.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because like I spent this whole life not getting any, and I don't have any for acting, and also because I'm like very specific. I think it'd be hard for me to get them.
It's not just that tattoos are specific. So let's just say you had a rose on your back shoulder blade. any movie where I see that, I know it's you now. So you can't blend into the character because now I know you from somewhere
or,
else.
Or, yeah, the art itself is dated and it's aged. Like, you'd have to get something specific. If it's a 1950s tattoo and you're playing a part, like, you know, like, it just has to be specific to a period. And if you want to be in, you know, period piece things, then they have to cover it up and that's extra.
You can't do Orange is the New Black for the rest of your life. You gotta
exactly.
You know, spread your wings.
Yep.
But I think it's becoming more accepted, right? Socially accepted. Like Shamar Moore, for example, he's got a lot of tattoos. But he also, that's how you knew when the first season, after the first season, he got the SWAT tattoo, like the eagle. And then you're like, oh, well, this show's going to go for a long time now.
Yeah.
Especially because he's in charge of it. But I think it's becoming more socially acceptable. Like, did you hear Disneyland? Their cast members, the employees, the cast members, are allowed to have visible tattoos.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what that says to me?
Uh-oh.
Tattoos are played now.
Ooh.
They're what?
They're played.
They're played?
They're passe.
Oh, this is slang. They're played.
This is boomer slang.
Oh, I see. They're played. Tattoos are played.
This is boomer slang.
I see.
But if Disney's allowing their employees to have tattoos, that means anybody can get them. There's no originality to it anymore. You're no longer a rebel. You're no longer an outcast.
If we're going back to my mother, my mom thinks tattoos are disgusting, she says. And she says the only people that are allowed to have them are rockers. Rock, you have to be a rock star. Because I'd always use Janie as a reference. I'm like, Janie was covered in the stupidest tattoos. Like, the dumbest things I've ever seen. She's like, he was a rock star, Victoria. I'm like, yeah, I know, with dumb tattoos. Like, it doesn't take away, like, the fact that they're stupid.
But I'm just saying, if it's gone that mainstream, then why get them?
Yeah. Like, it's
now
very...
Now, not having tattoos is cool.
That's literally, people are shocked when I don't have one.
See, you're now with the cool kids.
Thank you. It's about time, man. It's about
You do have heavy tattoo energy.
Thank like you would. So much, Sean. Thank you. It shocks people. They think I'd have something in Latin, like on my neck or something. They're like, you really don't? Your favorite Edgar Allan Poe quote? I'm like, shut up.
Okay, there'd be another 58-year-old man. I don't dig chicks that have tattoos on their necks or teardrops or...
Teardrops.
I think like teardrops. They killed somebody?
Yeah, you murdered. Well, good just, for you, dude. Yeah, you don't want to date a murderer.
No. Keep your tattoo below the shoulder and above the waist.
Keep your murder a secret. Don't advertise
I don't
murders.
Like, I don't like thigh tattoos.
That was a kill.
Ankle tattoos, okay. Calf, no. It's.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's funny because it's just like most guys that I've dated, they've all had tattoos except for one.
And that was in elementary school.
Pretty much. But
he was still 15.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
He was an idiot.
Yeah. No, I just think I also grew up with guys that had tattoos. So I think maybe
you
I
grew
just,
up with rock stars, Victoria.
Yeah, rockers. I know. But maybe I just don't pay attention or look. Or maybe that's a demographic. Or maybe it's just hard to find people with no tattoos.
Most parents say, come on, we're going to the park. Or mom's like, come on, we're going to the whiskey.
Literally. Yep.
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like, I want tattoos. I've always wanted tattoos. Yeah. And then growing up in the 90s and 2000s, it's like they got the tribal bands.
Oh, my God.
Like,
so bad.
For a minute, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. But now if you have it, that's
gross,
you know what I mean?
Right? The barbed wire.
Yep. Or like the tramp stamps.
Oh, my God. Yeah, with the wings.
The spider web.
I know so many people that have the tramp stamp with the wings. Bobby does.
Right? Like
I
on
love
the lower
so
back part?
I at times will say something inappropriate. From time to time. And there was,
I've already warned him.
And there was a girl that had a tramp stamp. I said, so you really like that tattoo? She's like, no, I love it. I said, you've never seen it, but I bet other people have.
Oh, wow.
That's who it's for. It's got to be.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't see it if it's there. Another inappropriate thing I once said, there was a gal who was a regular at a bar I used to hang out at. And she had a big old honker. Mm-hmm. And she came in one day. We hadn't seen her in 4 or 5 months. And she got a boob job. And she's like, and she's coming over. She said, so what do you think? I said, I would have started with the nose.
Wow. Wow, Ralph. That's mean. Did she cry?
She used foul language. But the point was, she didn't need a breast augmentation. She could have just trimmed the nose
maybe
and she was beautiful.
Maybe she liked her nose and maybe she wanted to be more confident with her boobs.
She asked him what he thought.
That's
the difference.
To be fair, never open that door, number one. Like, never. I would, even if I was in that circumstance, like, don't talk to me about it. Like, it goes unsaid. So, to be fair, she kind of, get that.
She could have just kept it quiet, and then I would have kept my comments to myself.
Sure. So. I understand that.
Sure.
She's probably cried.
Have you progressed to the film world yet?
Yeah, that's actually where I started. I wrote and produced a lot of my own films with a couple friends. Adam is actually incidentally in both of them. I like it. I like it. There's a longer timeline, more creativity. I feel like if I can book films and travel and do that, then you're away from life for
okay.
a while.
So you threw a couple of things out there, which I always find fascinating. I look, there are people that are triple threats. Warren Beatty, Kevin yeah. Costner, and there's obviously a bunch of others. But do you have a preference what side of the camera you're on or what you're doing in the industry?
You know, so like Victoria had mentioned earlier, now I work as a coach and I coach actors a lot on mindset. That's extremely fulfilling for me to be able to see people realize their dreams. And so I probably first noticed that being behind the camera, trying to help execute a vision. The thing is, it's such a like a group mentality, right? Whereas being in front of the camera, it's very much like, look at me, I'm right. doing a thing, as much as you want it to be an ensemble. And sometimes that can be really difficult. That can be a lot of pressure. And I find with TV now, you can be yourself. I think the BS meter of the viewing public is like if you watch Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons is very much Jim Parsons. He's very much Sheldon Cooper, just yep. not a genius.
Yeah.
So I think that it's changed a little bit in that maybe I'd go for TV, which was never really my thing. I wanted to make like art house films, socially relevant, responsible, powerful, moving things. If
right.
one person watches it, this kid from the hood will be like, I'll yeah. be a doctor.
Yeah.
But as I get older, I just want to be myself and I want to tell cool stories and entertain people.
I know that's so funny because I think I have this like epiphany as well, like with acting in myself. It's just like you just want to be comfortable being yourself.
Yeah.
It's like you're sick of doing all of what you think, what you were supposed to do.
I guess it depends on what you want to do. Look, there's a – and I'm not talking about network TV. I'm talking about
yes.
more cable channels, whether it's FX, AMC, HBO. You can really take a character mm-hmm. and go deep onto it. My favorite film is The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really only, you know, Marlon Brando only gets 3 hours, you know, to impress you. Tony Soprano had, what, 600 hours to develop that character, you know, over six
yeah.
seasons or whatever it was. So if there's a character that you really enjoy, there's nothing like TV to develop that character.
Yeah. You get more time.
Right.
Yeah, you get more time. I mean, that's, I feel like in general with acting, it's like this weird thing of, you know, you bond and you grow as this thing and then you have to say goodbye to it and let it die. And it's like really strange letting go of certain things. And people who have the luxury of being on TV shows, like some crazy, like Olivia Benson, they're like on like what, season 23?
Mm-hmm.
Like she's gotten to be Olivia, which some people might hate. There's some people that are like, I wouldn't want to do that for. But if you love,
you do get typecast. What is Bart Simpson going to do?
Is that a joke?
Okay, boomer.
I'm just gonna yeah. Okay, okay. Was that another funny? I'm just like no. I don't know.
That's
okay,
longest,
I don't know.
That's the longest TV in history.
Yeah, and that was she's a voice actress. She's gotten quite a career.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But
poor Bart can't go anywhere.
Yeah, but there's other people who've had to play certain things. I mean, I feel bad for the people who get typed in commercials because I think that's the hardest thing. Like when you're like a slogan thing, like
the progressive chick?
Yes, like stuff like that.
But she performs a lot over at the improv. What's the one on Melrose? The you take classes there and you also perform there.
The Groundlings.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
also you just referred to her as what?
The progressive chick.
So that's my point, right? That's like the, if we want to go back to
because
Janie,
because
he didn't want to be the cherry pie guy.
I don't think she
guy.
Has a name in the commercial.
Flo.
Yeah, her name is Flo. Yeah. Oh,
okay, there you go.
But still, like, that's the thing, right? Some people may love that because they don't ever have to have a normal job and they could really, like, hone in on that. Like, it's the actors that you approach. Like, I've met, oh my God, what's his name? I'll never remember it now that I can't remember
it. No pressure.
Joe Pesci, and I used to know pressure, and that helped me. Thank you so much.
Same team.
Wow. and, like, he's so into doing his, like, little taglines from things. Like, I said some joke to him, like, I was like, what, do I amuse you? And then he's like, he looked at me, and he started doing the whole bit. Like, there's certain people that are just into it, and I've met other ones not into it at all. And it's just, like, at the end of the day, I would be really into those things. But I could see into a certain degree or extent, like you wouldn't want to be pigeonholed as that one thing. food for thought.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think it's just one
that's
of
the rainbow I create.
Here's what I always say, and I mean, I left the field a long, long time ago, so don't take what I say seriously, but you're in there. If it's paying you a check, keep doing it, man.
Sure, sure.
This field is so competitive, and you never know when your next gig is coming. Yeah. That paycheck is in the mailbox. Cash it.
Yeah, I mean, these are good problems to have. Don't get me wrong. These are like problems that pay your bills. So at the end of the day, it's like, do it.
Think about what Shelley Long leaving Cheers. What did she really do after that?
That's stupid. That was dumb.
Yeah.
I love Cheers.
Yeah, that was like in MASH. Remember Major Burns eats worms?
That's
and
right.
And he left because he was the butt of the joke all the time. He didn't get to have any fun and he left. And
the first track left.
Yep.
Man, look, they pay you well. Keep cashing those checks. That's my attitude. Unless, you know, a stage actor is a little bit different because they're all screwed up.
Thank you.
No, they really are.
I'm just kidding.
you know,
thank you so much.
Someone told me they met, I forget who it was. It was one of the British Sir, like Anthony Olivier's. No, Sir Laurence Olivier.
Oh, yeah.
And he said when he did stage, because they used to do two shows a day, they used to get ripped before the second show. They did the first show, then they go out and they get something to eat. And then just get ripped.
Yeah.
How do you do live stage drunk?
I have my one friend, Matt, who is so interesting because, like, if a character's supposed to be wasted, he'll really get drunk, but he'll do all of his lines and everything. I can't have caffeine. I'm like, I'll throw up. Like, I'm the worst. Like, it's like, I can't even be. So the people who get wasted, they're probably not supposed to be drunk and seen. I don't know how they do it.
All right.
But
we do have a guest here. So how do you do it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's part of the process, right? It's a secret. I can't tell you. You know, but what's something that's interesting about it, I think, is now that we're talking more, if you're involved in the industry, then this is a conversation you'd be having. Because a long time ago, like CSI, when the first CSI was out, they're rebooting it now. But that's like, I watch that and I go, that's what I would want to do. I would be on that show forever because I would love it.
Right.
And then you hear about like pay disputes or you hear about people just wanting to be off the show because they don't enjoy the job. And I was thinking they were ungrateful or they're throwing away their dream, right? And now it's like you get older or you spend more time in the industry and you're like, oh, yes, it's not everything. Yeah,
David Caruso did that the first time around. Hill Street Blues, was it? And he quit
that. Right.
He wanted, because he wanted to do films and they got Rambo, which was a small part in Rambo, and then literally nothing else. And he was selling bikinis down in South Florida when he got the call to do CSI.
In Miami, yeah. You know, but also I think movies are changing too. I mean, maybe for the worse. You know, I don't know what your opinion on it is. But like for Robert Downey Jr., then he does get to be Iron Man for movies for like 14 years now it's been.
Right.
So you do live that. And like Chris Evans, he says it was so hard for him to be Captain America for that long. That lifestyle.
Well, Daniel Craig keeps saying he's never going to do another Bond movie until he sees the check. And then all of a sudden, I'll do one more.
He burned it to the ground. Do you remember that? After the last one, he was trashing them. And I can't believe they let him back.
Wow.
Well, he trashed them, and you can't believe they let – I can't believe he came back after trashing them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The check was big.
Yeah, for sure.
It absolutely – look, we're here to make money. We're here to take care of our families, take care of our loved ones. Just cash those checks and drop the ego, man.
That's for sure. It's also not mutually exclusive, right?
No.
The idea is you cash those checks because they bought you as that character.
Correct.
Yes, you are that person. So it's about how you marketed yourself.
And going back to the Robert Downey Jr. thing, even though a very good friend of Victoria's and I is in that whole Marvel Cinematic Universe world, it just destroyed filmmaking. And I've told that to Craig. It really has.
Oh, sure.
Because now everything is expected to be that type of filmmaking. And God bless Scarlett Johansson. And I'm not a huge fan of her. I think she's okay. But what she's doing now to Disney, suing them for releasing it on the same day as in the box office, God bless her. And I hope it's not that she's going to win or lose. They're going to write her a check. They're going to settle.
Yeah.
Because they don't want other actors coming forth if they lose, saying, hey, you released my film on the same day on Disney Plus or HBO Max. The same thing's going to happen. The industry's changing. This is how old I am. Jaws was probably the first summer blockbuster. Jaws was in the theater for nearly 22 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Think about that. There's no film out there anywhere on the horizon that'll be out there more than four.
Sure.
Attention span.
Right. Well, and they're also producing a lot more product. A lot more people have home theaters that they don't want to go to the theaters. So it's got to be something new because otherwise they're just going to wait for it. But if you wanted to see Jaws, you had to go to the movie theater and 22 weeks at number one.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts. Yeah, it's just figuring out the how the change is going. And that's what I think, you know, it's figuring out the new rules and making sure that they take care of people. Because, like, that's, again, like, just social media, that resurgence. We talked about that last show.
We talked about SAG.
Yeah, like with SAG and TikTok. And
SAG
like,
wants to let TikTok influencers and Instagram influencers
in. Oh, I saw that.
But it's like a new thing, right? So all the rules and things are shifting and changing, which is fine. But as long as, you know, the artists are taken care of properly.
But they're not.
And that's the issue, right?
No, it all SAG screws up every time they try to do something. It really was the after merger that just destroyed them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yo, they lost my paperwork when that happened. I'm just going to say that right now.
But it was crazy because we also have a friend of ours who's been on your show. He did a Disney show, didn't get paid, saw that it was airing, reached out to his reps. That's they said, we haven't gotten anything. Did he tell you the story?
No.
And then he went to SAG and he was like, hey, so what do we do about this? And they're like, they dug deeper and they're like, oh, yeah, definitely. This has been airing. It's aired X amount of times. Right. You should definitely be being paid. He's like, what do we do? And they're like, well, we can't do anything. You can try and sue. It's a Disney production, Disney show. He's like, you can try and sue them, but he goes, you might win, but you also never work for them again.
They'll blacklist you. That's crazy.
And they're like, we can't go after them because they're a monstrosity. They would destroy us.
Look, when I was growing up, a national commercial, and now you're going back to the 70s or 80s, you were good for a minimum of 100K.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the 70s. Yeah. Or 80s.
That's nuts.
Now there's really no such thing as a national commercial. They do buyouts. They do regional. They don't really do nationals that much. I mean, some are.
Yours
probably was. The Solari one was.
Yeah, you got lucky, dude.
But most of them are regional buyouts.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough because how do you make a living?
Yeah. In the 90s and in the early 2000s, still, that was like, it was in the steady decline. But that's when I started booking stuff. And there are people that are like, I bought this house with this commercial. Right. I bought these cars with this commercial.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And now it's like, oh, I barely can do anything.
Well, yeah, 100,000 was the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You did like a Coors Light commercial, which was a national run. Boom.
Yeah, my mom always talked about that stuff too in the 80s, like how good they were.
Yeah.
You're just booking one.
Now, because there's so many regional markets, they do little regional buyouts and they're not paying you per run. They're just doing a buyout. And
it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And that's what really hurts the older members of SAG, not to go down a bunny trail, but since an older member. Because now they only want to count your session fees towards your pension and health and not your residuals.
That's crazy.
So Johnny Rose Beef, who's the host over at Rayo's down in Hollywood. It's on Seward, two blocks east of Highland, one block south of Santa Monica. He's like biting nails. He rails because he makes a ton of money in residuals from all his work, but he doesn't do a lot of in-session fees.
Mm-hmm.
So they're stopping his health care.
That's so sad.
Yeah. That's our union, ladies and gentlemen. And so I would rather, not that I don't like you young folks.
Sure.
But I'd rather see you young folks who are younger and healthier have to worry about in session because you haven't built up, not all of you, but some of you haven't built up the residual line that some of these older actors have.
Yeah. The body of work.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so.
That's crazy, man. Poor Johnny. Johnny Roast Beef's the best.
He's very cool.
I love him.
Tell him when he found out.
Oh, no. He just told the story about my grandpa. He was just like, Kenny Rogers really your grandpa? I'm like, yeah.
No, but Johnny Roast Beef has the heaviest New York accent.
Yeah, I'll talk to him like this. And he goes, is your grandfather really Kenny Rogers? And I'm like, yeah, he is. He's like, oh, I have to tell you the story. He's like, me and my wife, we were married, right? I'm like, sure. And he's like, he sings that song, right? True to Years. True to Years. That's his song, right? I'm like, yep, that's it. And he's like, oh, we're in the grocery store. Me and my wife, True to Years comes on. She looks in my eyes and she's like, baby, this is our song. And she's being romantic. A week later, she's filed for divorce and I'm living in an apartment. He's like, True to Years, my ass. And I don't think, it was just like, I told Keaton this story and we just kept saying to each other, we're like, True to Years.
True to Years.
Yeah, he's like, True to Years, my ass. So good.
Cursing Kenny Rogers' name.
I know. K Rog, dude. That's what we call him in my family.
Sean, anything we could be seeing you in shortly?
Well, you know, I was on Young and the Restless, which is daytime drama, if you're into that sort
of
thing.
When were you on?
Let's see. Well, I shot a lot before the pandemic. Just before the pandemic.
So fairly recently.
So fairly recently, yeah. But then I stole a bunch of company secrets and left to Paris.
Heck yeah, you did.
I did.
That's really cool.
With the owner of the company's sister, who was my boss.
Not when Sean Young was on.
Oh, he's still, yeah, he's on now, right?
No, Sean. She's a girl.
Oh, no, no. Oh, sorry. Then I'm thinking about somebody else.
Sean Young, no. Yeah, Sean Young hasn't been on in a moment.
Okay,
right?
That's right. She's been on 4, 5, 6 years, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is recent.
She was from Blade Runner.
Yes.
Stripes.
Yeah, right.
She was the one that kind of crushed her career when she wanted to play Catwoman and dressed up as Catwoman and stormed the Paramount lot.
No, that's not this person.
Shoot your shot. Yeah. Shoot your shot. Do your thing. Sometimes it works. You hear about stuff like that.
Because she was mad that Michelle Pfeiffer got it. So she actually went and stormed the studio.
A lot of stories
dressed in character.
Real cute.
Missed those days. Now, it was about like 2017, 18, 19, and then going into early 2020. But you never know because you know the storylines.
Do you
want to
promote your little life course?
Your little life course?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty big life course, bro. It's great. I loved it. But anyway, Sean, you talk about it, okay?
No, sometimes people don't want to promote their work.
Sure.
I didn't want him to feel obligated that he had to.
I'm going to make him feel obligated because it matters a lot to me, Ralph. You're obligated. Promote it, dude.
I never really thought about it like that. You know, the life coaching, it's interesting. You talk to people and then they come to you.
So how do they come to you?
Visit my Instagram, Sean Muramatsu, @SeanMuramatsu. I have a website, SeanMuramatsu.coach, which I found is a new thing,
okay,
which is super awesome. There's .com, right? Everything. Yeah,
there's
so
a .coach.
Is the new thing.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't whisper his last name like you do.
Muramatsu. I should do an echo. I wish I had an echo. Does match it? Yeah. I literally, every time I've ever said your name, I don't go Sean. I go Sean Muramatsu. Yeah. So
I have friends like that. I can't think of who it is, but Cindy Bell, the bartender at Craig's.
Oh, there you go.
She moved to Nashville, Tennessee. But she is Cindy Bell. She is first and last name.
That works off the tongue well.
We're formal. We're formal here in this family. Thank you.
All right, we got a couple of minutes left. Are you promoting anything, Victoria?
What am I? Oh, Raised on TV. They're going to have a new music video that I just helped shoot. And it's really fun. It's a very Foo Fighters homage, but they play like the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, essentially. And then they play each little weird character. So like Keaton's like a drunk host, like secretly wasted. Casey's like a perverted camera op. And then they're also going to be like the 1960s fangirls. And we're going to have like, it's going to be fun. It's cute.
What are you shooting it on?
They did it on like camera, like their camera phone, and it looks really cool though. That's what they've been doing all of their music videos from this last album on.
Okay.
But we just did it at a sound stage. It looks really nice. We've been making these this crazy set for the Ed Sullivan Show. It's been fun.
I know a guy in the VFX business. Maybe I can introduce you and he can help you out with the video. I will speak to him and see what his schedule is like.
NDA. I'm pretty sure it's busy. Thank you.
All righty, everybody. We want to thank Sean for being here.
Yes.
It was a pleasure getting to
know
you.
You're the best, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
And listen, next week I won't be here. Victoria will be sitting in the big boy chair, and she'll be driving the bus for the hour.
Yeah, guys, it's going to be really cool. We're going to be gossiping.
It'll be a chick fest.
Talking health. I don't know.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Just remember to support the Pineapple Hill Saloon.
Yes.
Over in the Oaks of Sherman on Moore Park in Van Nuys behind the In-N-Out Burger. We will see you next week. Thank you all, and thank you, Sean, once again.
Sean.
We appreciate it.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.